This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye. Favorite murder.
The mini-sode.
It's mini.
It's
Monday. Let's
grab a sode.
Do it.
Grab a road soda. Did anyone you know ever call beers road sodas?
No.
You're gonna take it on your way to a party?
That's drinking and driving. Oh, no.
That's my special group of alcoholics that used
Sounds
to
like
do that.
A Sacramento thing.
It's very floodplain behavior, for sure.
Road soda?
Road soda. You have to drink on your way places, because what if you get caught there in reality?
Oh, my God. Did you guys do beer funds? Beer funds.
What's that?
It's when, like, we're about to go get beer and, like, everyone needs to put in beer funds. Beer funds. Oh. Everyone throws money in. And then you stand outside a grocery store or liquor store and find an older person willing to buy you liquor or booze.
Hell yeah. We did that a lot.
Yeah.
I told you the story of us walking up. Please honestly stop me, and Steven can take this out if I've told this before. But in high school, we did this thing one time where it was the Alpha Beta Shopping Center. So it was actually kind of a really big shopping
Alpha
center.
Alpha Beta.
Alpha Beta was a very 70s, early 80s grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
With a weird... Did you guys have Alpha Beta?
We had an Alpha Beta, yeah.
And it was like... It was a rainbow, but it was earth tones. It couldn't have been more like 1978.
Oh, my yeah. God.
So we're in the Alpha Beta Shopping Center, me and my friend Christine and like a bunch of our other friends, but Christine and I are the ones that are on task, and we have like $60 that we've collected
Whoa.
From everybody.
$60 in beer funds.
In beer funds, right. And we, some kid that we didn't know, but was clearly another high school, like junior or senior trying mm-hmm. to get liquor, was like, you should go over there. There's guys over there that'll buy for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk over to the scuzziest looking station wagon. That's like, the tires are kind of flat. It's uh-huh. way too low to the ground. And there's two dudes in it that look like they live on a riverbank. Like, it was insanely sketchy. And we just immediately lean and we're like, hey, will you buy liquor for us? And they're like, totally. And so we lean in and start listing off all of the different liquors
right.
and flavors
peach
of wine
schnapps, but get the yeah. peach, the fuzzy peach, not the regular peach.
But if they don't have regular peach,
right.
you can get peppermint schnapps. Always got peppermint schnapps.
Right.
We gave our order for literally 5 minutes. The guy's looking up like, uh-huh. Like, after a while, he's just thinks it's funny. And he goes, sounds good. Takes the money. They throw it into reverse and drive
yeah,
away.
Of course they do.
If just without even pausing. It was
right.
so hilarious. And borderline dangerous. They
oh,
were like,
guys.
It was
nowadays,
so
your parents just buy it for you. No. That's
yeah.
Anyways.
Right. Are you ready?
Yeah. Let's tell stories.
The subject line of this is hostel haunting. Hey, everyone. I have a ghost story for you. I've had weird experiences with the supernatural throughout my life, starting when I was really little, and things slowed down as I got older. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
But haven't completely stopped. One year in college, I went to Chicago with some of my classmates for spring break. We stayed at a hostel, as thrifty college kids do, and all was well until I was getting ready for bed the first night. After getting out of the shower, I noticed some small, strange, dark marks in various places on my legs. They wouldn't wipe off, and they didn't hurt, but I unsuccessfully racked my brain trying to think of what I'd done in previous days that would have caused them. Nothing came to mind. I just shrugged it off and went to bed. The next morning when I woke up, the marks were a little darker. I thought it was super weird, but I just tried to ignore it and enjoy my trip. By the end of the following day, I had full-blown handprints up and down both legs, concentrated more on my calves and shins. I freaked out and started crying. And when I showed my friends, I could tell they were all freaked out too, but didn't want to scare me more. Mm. A friend reassured me by saying that if it was a ghost, they probably would have already hurt me if they actually wanted to.
Thanks, friend. Thanks, best friend.
That's so me. You're clamoring for some words of comfort. So you just say whatever pops into your head and don't really think about it first. This is comfort. I'm sure of it. I'm not sure if that actually made me feel better or not, but nothing worse happened and the bruises faded after we went back home. I don't remember the name of the hostel we stayed at, so I can't really Google its history, but I'm still curious about what that building could have been before it was a hostel. I think someone said it was a girls' boarding school, which would also explain the smaller than average size of the handprints, but I can't confirm that.
I feel like a hostel is haunted enough. Like, it doesn't need to be anything else.
Anyway, stay sexy and teach social distancing to your ghosts, Shannon.
Creepy. You know
what? Tiny. What I would have said if I was Shannon's trying to be comforting but actually very insensitive friend, mm-hmm. I would have said, it's probably not a ghost. It's probably a really little guy that's coming in and just touching your calf.
It's probably a tiny demon. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I think it's a grad student from down the hall that's just got real tiny little baby hands.
It's a ghost baby demon grad student with baby tiny hands. Don't
Who
worry
has a
about it.
Calf fetish,
right?
For you,
so it's fine.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment. You have great calves.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah,
you should look it up.
Someone tell us what that means.
What hostels mean.
Okay, this one's just called Hometown Story. It starts, here we go. My uncle has spent his whole life working in the British music industry, mostly working gigs and managing bands.
Ooh.
Fun.
Who are they?
I know. One late night in the 80s, my uncle was driving home from work in his van. He was slow getting home, so he stopped by a payphone to call my grandparents and let them know he'd be home late. That night, he woke up to cops ramming down his door. He was promptly arrested on suspicion of extortion and kidnapping. Turns out, some rich guy's daughter was kidnapped for ransom and was expected to negotiate at that exact payphone around the time my clueless uncle showed up, van and all. After searching my uncle's mini cottage on the edge of my grandparents' property, the police realized they had the wrong guy. My uncle probably could have made some sweet cash out of being falsely arrested and searched without a warrant, but alas, they made an agreement to pretend it never happened due to the massive bag of weed hidden under his bed. Just as well they didn't search my grandparents, as my grandpa was in the possession of an unregistered pistol he'd stolen from under the pillow of a murderous chef working at his restaurant.
What?
My grandpa had a few shifty restaurants near his sister's brothel, so there were a few wild things going on there. I'll save that for another time. You guys are an integral part of grounding myself when I'm drenched in sweat post-PTSD nightmares. Thank you for gently and hilariously reminding me that it could be worse and normalizing getting help. We should all feel safe to discuss therapy and meds. Bless, Kay.
Okay.
Kay identifies as she, her also.
Okay, I just want to say that whole family should be arrested and put in prison.
Or are they our best friends now? Or should they be our best friends?
Or they should open a pot store.
Right, here's another idea. They open a hostel.
Hey, hostel with a sketchy restaurant at the bottom and a weed store on the top.
And a brothel close by. Amen.
Okay. The subject line of this is, well, it gives it all away. Okay. I'll just read the introduction is whatever the greeting is. My favorite badass podcasting babes. I first want to start off by saying thank you for always keeping me sane. I've been listening to your podcast for a few years now, and it's gotten me through the hell that is nursing school. Nurses, we need you. As someone who works in a psychiatric unit, ooh, I always love Karen's stories about her badass nurse mom. Head nurse, by the way. Now, enough about me. Let's get to the real reason I'm writing you guys. In the 80s, my dad was in his early 20s, and just like Steven, he had a killer mustache. My dad at the time would go out to Colorado to work at my uncle's ranch. My dad was dating my mom at the time, who lived in Illinois. So on an off week, my dad boarded what he thought would be a routine late night flight home. Little did he know it was far from that. My dad boarded, greeted his seat neighbor, and sat down expecting to sleep the whole flight home. Shortly after my dad fell asleep, he woke up to a commotion in the row in front of him. The flight attendants were surrounding an elderly woman and her family, trying to figure out what to do. Suddenly, the flight attendants ask, "Is there a doctor on board?" Turns out the man sitting next to my dad was an ER doctor. He jumped up and took my dad with him. And while the doctor tended to the woman, my dad stood there in shock and became his assistant. According to the family, the woman had many illnesses and was very sick. Unfortunately, she passed. After everything was wrapped up, my dad and the doctor went back to their seats. Neither of them had ever dealt with death on a plane, so they just assumed everything would be handled when they landed. Nope. The plane took an emergency landing in the middle of nowhere so my dad and the doctor could sign a death certificate.
What?
They list the dad first. It's like, I think the doctor signed the death certificate. Your dad was the witness.
Oh my God.
When the plane landed, my dad and the doctor were escorted off by airplane police. And then in parentheses, I don't know their official title. Mm-hmm. I'd think an air marshal, right?
Sure.
To an office to file the paperwork. My dad assumed they would also take the body off the plane when they landed, but he was wrong again. When they boarded back onto the plane, the woman was still sitting in her chair. This time she was propped up and wrapped in one of those thin airplane blankets.
What?
It looked like a Weekend at Bernie's situation, according to my dad. The plane took off and landed safely in Illinois, where the woman was finally taken off the plane by the coroner. The best part of this is the coroner used the airplane blanket to cover the body while carrying her out. My dad was safely reunited with my mom, whom he eventually convinced to road trip back with him at the end of the week.
Yeah.
My dad has many crazy dead body stories, but this one is my favorite. Stay sexy and make sure you're not sitting next to a doctor on the plane. Thank you for all you do, Rachel.
Can you imagine being like, well, that didn't work. Let's go back to our seats. What the fuck?
Yeah. That's so heavy.
That's so heavy.
And also, I love that the dad thought they would leave the body. It's like, sorry, she paid that ticket. You have to take her. She needs to go where she needs
to go.
Yeah,
but like, can you bring her backstage? Is there a backstage?
There's
poor
no
woman
backstage.
Is just like sitting there while like
there's
snacks are being served.
Yeah, sorry. Those pretzels aren't going to taste too good this time. You know what?
Yeah.
You can have some when you get off the plane.
You can't.
It's a lot.
It's dark. This one, I'm not going to say the name of it, but this is one of my favorite, like, ill-fated town stories that I've just been obsessed with my whole life. So it starts, "Hi, all. Since we're all into underground ghost towns these days, I thought I'd give you the opposite. A ghost town that has been on fire for over 50 years.
What?
I grew up near Centralia?
Centralia?
I grew up near Centralia, Pennsylvania, a town that was once a busy town with a booming coal mining industry. It is possible the town itself was doomed from the start when, in 1868, its founder, Alexander Ray, was murdered in a routine buggy ride to a nearby town. His death was attributed to a gang of Molly Maguires, which is a secret society of Irish immigrant activists. Woo-hoo! Why I'm pointing at you. You know, like you, Karen.
My people, yes.
Yeah. Though they may have been framed by owners of the mines who feared the Mollies would unionize their workers. And then it just says in parentheses, America. Cut to 100 years later in 1962, when the town decided to clean up the local dump ahead of Memorial Day celebrations. In true 1960s fashion, the method for cleaning the landfill was to set it on fire.
No!
Unlike in previous years, they were not able to put the fire out. The coal veins under the dump caught fire. It spread underground to other coal veins and eventually to the many abandoned mine tunnels and coal deposits under the entire town. There's fucking video of this online. You can see it. Officials attempted to put out the fire, but it was nearly impossible to determine which of the many tunnels and veins were feeding the fire. For years, the fire burned on. The temperature of the ground became nearly 900 degrees, and smoke and steam would pour from cracks in the ground, sinkholes, and even residents' basements.
Shit.
In 1981, a 12-year-old boy fell into a steaming sinkhole that had suddenly opened in his backyard. This has everything.
I mean, this story, but also they still lived. I mean, it's like, they're like, well, where do we go? This is our whole town.
This is our fucking town.
It's not my house is on fire underground. It's the whole fucking place.
Earth.
Is.
Our earth is on fire.
Our earth.
Our little piece of earth.
Fire.
Yeah.
Simmering.
His cousin pulled him out of the hole, which was billowing hot steam with lethal levels of carbon monoxide. So he survived. Residents of Centrella were divided on whether the fire posed a true risk, as many did not want to relocate from their hometown. After the sinkhole incident, 1,000 people were relocated and 500 structures were demolished. It was a very painful chapter for these residents, and even a few stayed behind, and five or so remain today.
Whoa.
Fucking fire ghost town.
I mean,
growing up, we would drive through.
Their skin looks amazing.
The steam is like opens the pores. Growing up, we would drive through Centrella to see the eerie steam and smoke arising from the ground at the cemetery.
Fuck.
Today, it looks like an overgrown field with mysterious cracked and buckling roads paved through the foundations of some homes, hinting to a past not forgotten. It is less common now to see the smoke as it is possible the fire is nearly burned out or migrated underground, but the apocalyptic aura remains. Stay sexy and don't burn trash, Mo. Or Mo, M-O-W.
Amazing.
Don't burn trash. Oh.
God, I would love to see video of that from when it was at its height. Because I think that there's a video game. Is it Silent Hill? That's based on, they designed the landscape of that video game based on that city.
Whoa. This is definitely
no, they did. They did.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah. I just saw it. Yeah.
Woo!
Millennial.
So good.
That's so great. I think there's like 80s video, like Geraldo Rivera did a special on it or some shit. And I just remember seeing it and being like,
I'm totally looking.
Fire ghost town.
When I was just home in Petaluma, we, one night, because my cousin Stevie and Kim came over and we all ate dinner and we all started telling stories about the dump, which is where, because we lived so far out in the country, there was no garbage pickup. You had to take your own garbage to the dump.
Amazing.
And it was a thing that we did like once a month. My dad would always be like, want to go to the dumps with me? And you'd always say yes, because it was like a, you know, poor people's amusement park, essentially. And it was like, that's when I started getting obsessed with like what would eventually be vintage stores.
Yeah.
But at the time, I would stand on the edge of that pit.
Did you go through things?
What if there's something down there? Well, no, it was like a 30-foot drop between where you pull, because it was old school dump where my dad would back the truck up to the edge of this pit and you just dump everything out.
Like Lovely Bones. All together. Lovely Bones style.
Exactly. But like, I mean,
refrigerators and stuff.
Well, it was a city run thing, so you couldn't dump paint there, and there was like a slightly extra area. But in the 70s, it was like, go put whatever you want out there. Like, it's have at.
Sometimes it caught really on fire, sometimes it didn't. Yeah.
Sometimes it would be treasure. Remember, I mean, I would just like scan.
Remember they would have, well, at least where I'm from in Orange County, they would have at the New Year, they'd have a Christmas tree fire. Everyone brought their Christmas trees.
Ooh.
I only remember this once, so maybe it really didn't go well. But, and we're Jewish, so like we didn't have anything to bring. I think we just went to watch the Christmas tree fire.
Sure, like a bonfire.
Yeah.
It sounds
like a huge fucking towering thing of Christmas trees.
Must have smelled amazing.
Yeah.
Yankee Candle store.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your turn.
Lasties.
Okay. Yeah.
I love you, Centralia.
Good job, Centralia.
I love you. I mean, what a.
Oh, truly. If you ever want to make up a place where you're from, do that, Centralia.
It's me. It's me. I'm from Centralia.
It's me.
What do you expect?
I live in a hostel now.
Georgia, I just need to ask you kind of a general question. Who among us hasn't stumbled across a 5-ingredient dinner recipe or like a power washing tutorial online and thought, I want to try that?
I know I have, but usually I just bookmark and keep scrolling. It's hard to tell what content online is legit, Karen.
Well, Georgia, fortunately, Masterclass knows a pro from a foe. They only work with experts so you can learn with confidence.
With 200 classes taught by the world's best instructors on topics like cooking, photography, writing, and more, Masterclass has something for everyone.
Once you sign up for their annual membership, you'll have unlimited access to their full catalog for just $10 a month.
Get to know yourself better with RuPaul's Self-Expression and Authenticity class, or learn about problem solving from the science guy himself, Bill Nye.
Masterclass was designed to enhance your life no matter how busy you are. Their sessions are made up of 10 to 15 minute video lessons that can be taken in any order so you can learn at your own pace.
I love it. When you sign into Masterclass, it's like the whole world opens up and you can be in there for hours just learning stuff. I learned about dog training. You can do an improv lessons with Amy Poehler.
Oh, there's the great relationship expert Esther Perel. You can get in there and learn how to build deeper connections with her.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Dive into Hulu's chilling new original series, Under the Bridge.
It's a riveting adaptation of the true crime novel written by acclaimed author Rebecca Godfrey.
Based on shocking real-life events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a 14-year-old girl whose plan to meet up with friends ends in her shocking murder.
When an unlikely group of suspects emerge, a novelist and a detective race to solve the sinister crime.
This spellbinding series goes deep into a hidden subculture, revealing a small town's darkest secrets. Starring Emmy nominee Riley Keough and Oscar nominee Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Goodbye.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
This is the subject line of this is a kids say the darndest things story.
Oh, shit.
Lighthearted. So I was listening to the minisode about the girl who told her teacher my dad beat me, and I immediately chuckled because something similar happened to me. My mother, parentheses, a badass trauma ICU nurse who worked on the south side of Chicago while I was growing up.
Holy shit.
Just a warrior. Props to all Chicago nurses. Mm-hmm. Was at work one day when I was very young, leaving me at home with my dad. My dad was swinging me around in circles. My dad was swinging me around in circles in our backyard when pop goes my elbow, dislocating it. Also known as a nursemaid's elbow, a fairly common injury in younger children.
They're so pliable, little kids.
They really are.
You know?
My dad told me that I looked at him in horror and screamed, "You broke my arm," which was my first full sentence, according to my dad. I think it's she because it's Gina. A little enough baby.
Two. That's like two.
Yeah. That it's like first sentence area.
Her friend says,
"You broke my arm," which was my dad freaked out and called my mom, who told him to simply take me to the ER so they can pop it back into place. "I can't. She keeps screaming, 'You broke my arm.' They're going to think I'm beating her," my dad frantically replied. My mother ended up clocking out for lunch, driving home, popping my arm back into place in a matter of seconds and leaving to finish her shift.
Oh my
mom was always calm in emergency situations. Like when my dad cut the tip of his finger off in a sausage grinder, or when she saved a man from choking to death at a fish fry by performing CPR. She's incredible, and the reason both my younger brother and I are now ER nurses. Oh, holy shit!
Wow,
it's a dynasty.
Except you guys for your dad.
Absolute. But what?
Except for your dad.
Her dad.
Except your dad. He's useless.
He runs a business breaking children's arms. He runs a child's mafia business.
It's pretty adorable, actually.
It's actually, they've only borrowed quarters from each other.
Oh,
precious. You guys are the absolute fucking best. Thank you for being you, Gina.
Gina.
I love that story.
That's a great one.
I love that story.
Send us those, you guys. Send us nurse mom stories. Right?
Always send nurse mom stories. Also, if you send us a story and you talk about your mother, father, grandpa, grandma, please tell us their names.
That's right.
Please.
Well, speaking of grandpa, I have one and I don't think his name's in this. That's okay.
Sweet. Oh, also, what about if you ever found anything amazing at the dump in the 70s or 80s, I would like to hear that story because that's my dream.
Amazing and horrible.
Yeah. I mean, like, absolutely horrible or, you know, creepy or whatever. But like, if you have a good dumps going to the dumps story, people who live out in the country, I'm talking to you. Or like, let's hear him.
If there's like a town dump rumor, we want to hear about that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This one, I'm not going to read the title. It just says, hi, no bullshit, just hi. This happened to a friend of mine and I've never been so jealous. His grandfather on his mother's side was getting up in years and developed dementia. He started telling wild stories of exotic countries he'd visited for work and crazy investigations he'd conducted there. Following doctor's orders, when he got into these stories, his family had to reorient him by saying, no, Grandpa, you worked for the phone company, remember? As an engineer. You traveled a little, but only in this country. So they just completely ruined his hopes and dementia dreams.
They just negated his whole fantasy.
Right. Fast forward a few months and Grandpa sadly passed away. While cleaning out his house and moving his belongings, his children lifted up the mattress to find, all caps, his fucking CIA badge and identification.
What?
Yep. All those stories were 100% true. He did work for the Bell Atlantic Phone Company, but it was unclear to his family whether the CIA had assigned him there to assist with phone tapping or he started there and the CIA hired him because they thought he'd be a helpful resource. Either way,
or the phone company is a complete front for the CIA. Phones aren't even real.
Phones aren't even real. Oh my God. My head hurts. Either way, they started putting together weird details that suddenly made sense. For example, that he'd gone for weeks at a time, quote, lecturing, and that one time he'd had a few drinks and hypnotized/brainwashed a woman in the middle of a party.
What?
They couldn't get any details about his work, but it's still the coolest damn thing ever. Stay sexy and don't not believe your grandpa's wild stories, Kate.
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 If that's true, and it better be, that's the best thing of all time. Because this was my only, I flinched at the idea, what's a CIA badge? Isn't the whole thing with CIA is that no one knows you work there?
Sure, I like, guess they wouldn't be
are
like
you wearing your laminate.
They don't have like a sash, like a Miss America sash.
It actually looks like a Cinnabon shirt, but it just says CIA and smells so good.
It's one of those like auto insurance things that people stand on the arrows that guys stand on the corner and flip and stuff. But it points to you and says,
join the CIA.
I'm in the CIA. Me.
That's your badge.
That's your badge.
Your badge is a whole guy that can do sign acrobatics.
You know what? Everyone right now, make a fake CIA badge and put it under your mattress just in case something happens
just in
to
case
you.
Just to fuck with your family.
Let's fucking do it.
It makes sense, though, because I bet you, this is my theory, the way dementia usually works is your brain goes backwards in time, like it erodes.
Uh-huh.
So your memories become more and more from before.
Right.
So maybe it was like he worked in his 20s or 30s or 40s or whatever in the CIA and then just kind of like went into wiretapping, which is much easier and more low key
right.
in his later years.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's what his brain is remembering. And he's forgotten that he's not supposed to talk about it.
Yes.
So he think, oh, my God.
The whole part of his brain that says ixnay, you have to put that in the vault, like the vault door opened.
That's right.
And then he was just like, guys, you wouldn't believe the shit I've done.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, but that's a real upside.
It is.
To a terrible disease.
It is. Bless his heart. Send us your stories. There's so many options at this point. If you don't have a story, send it and we'll start making it a thing because I
we'll
bet
throw
it's good
some nouns and adjectives in, you'll be fine.
That's right. Thank you.
Just thank you and stay sexy
and don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?